This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I thought having a strong core meant I was safe from back pain. Then I became a mom. And I never forget leaning over the crib one night just trying to calm my baby, and my back lit up like fire. And I was standing there exhausted, in pain, and honestly, confused. How could this be happening to me? I'm a Pilates instructor. I know how to move. But motherhood hits different. And this is exactly what we are going to talk about today. I am so excited because I am joined by Kylie Marsh. She's a Pilates and strength coach, educator, and a new mom. So we are going to explore what needs to change in how we train and why real life strength looks a lot messier than perfect Pilates moves. So Kylie, thank you so much for accepting my invitation to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. And I'm really sorry, I should have told you this before we started, but actually my name is pronounced Kyle.
Kylie.
Yeah, it's okay. I get Kylie all the time. My dad is Australian, and in Australia, Kyle is very commonly a girl's name, and he has enjoyed the hilarity of me not growing up in Australia and being called Kylie. So,
okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. No, I feel bad. I should have said something before, but thank you for having me. It's great to be here. I am really excited to dive into this topic with you.
Perfect. All right. So let's go back to those early postpartum weeks. Was there a moment where you realized your body wasn't prepared for the physical demands of motherhood, even with your Pilates background?
Well, so that's a really great question. My journey into Pilates and like where I am now as a professional person, I've talked about this a lot kind of in the Pilates sphere and in my work, is I'm always grappling currently, like in the last 3 to 4 years, I am a Pilates instructor and I do teach Pilates. But now I also add that I'm a strength coach, because I am also a strength coach. And a huge part of me making that pivot into kind of identifying as both was honestly turning 35, which was a little while ago for me, and realizing that all the practices that I had had in my life as a professional dancer were no longer really serving me enough, meaning all I did was dance, do Pilates, and do yoga. And that was like my whole life, mm-hmm. from the time that I was, 10 until I was in my 30s. And then I started having all this chronic pain and I couldn't figure out why. And I was terrified of the gym and I started going to the gym. And then in the process of doing that, had this grand revelation that actually strength training is super important. So prior to becoming a mom, I had already gotten on the like, strength training is good for you train. And I had personally had a lot of like really amazing, what's the right word? Like, I want to say revelations, but what I mean is I had been able to resolve a lot of really painful, like physical issues that I had been having once I started strength training regularly. And for me, regularly prior to children was like 3 to 4 times a week lifting up heavy things in addition to my Pilates practice. But if I'm being perfectly honest, over the last 5 years, I still do Pilates, but the strength training portion of what I do in my personal practice is a much bigger component than my purely, in quotes, traditional Pilates. Even though I enjoy both and I think there's benefits from both. So going back to your original question, prior to being a mom, I was really obsessed with the idea of staying strong. So I'm somebody who found pregnancy, or let me go back. As someone who's worked with so many pre and postnatal clients in my life as a trainer and an instructor, I had a great fear of pregnancy going into it, mostly because I think I knew too many things about it. Like I was really concerned about what was going to happen to my pelvic floor and just how all the things were going to change.
Like me speaking, I felt totally the same way.
Yeah. So I had a lot of fear going in. I just had a lot of anticipation and I wanted to do everything in my power to control for that as much as possible, which for me meant that thankfully, because I had gone on my strength training journey prior to becoming pregnant, I felt really empowered to keep doing that. And I had kind of broken down a lot of incorrect belief systems that I had adopted over the years, things like pregnant people are fragile and that you can't work out vigorously and that you need to taper down, you know, all the stuff which we can get into. So I had already made the mental leap of passing that. So I trained actually really intentionally for pregnancy. And I was that like singularly pregnant, very pregnant woman in the gym, like lifting heavy things and having guys come up to me and be like, do you know how much weight you're about to lift? And it was like, yes, thank you for your concern. Like, yes, I do. I put those plates on the barbell on purpose. Yeah. So I trained really intentionally for pregnancy with the idea that I wanted to have as easy a pregnancy as possible, as easy a birth as possible, and as easy a recovery as possible. And I think that I was successful at those things. However, what I will say is I did all this training. It really helped support me. And also, for me, birth was such a violent, intense physical experience. Like I knew intellectually, it's one of the most impressive things as a woman that your body can do. But then going through it I think on the other side of things, I was like, holy crap. Sorry, I don't know if we're allowed to swear on this podcast.
Definitely.
I was going to say, holy shit. Like what happens to the people who don't train for this? Like how do they survive? That was my kind of post-reflection. And now my baby is 7 months and yeah, here we are. So I think I answered your question. That was a long tangent.
Amazing. Now, couple things. So you just, you know, had your baby recently. Well, my son is turning about 10. So my view and the way I train is totally different. So it was, you know, what you just said, pregnant, you know, women or people are, you know, fragile. Don't do this, don't do that. And to be honest with you, well, my son was actually 5.5 weeks early. So I missed the last rough month, which I wish I didn't. But anyway, yeah. And going back training after having him, for me, it was really, really difficult. Because I didn't train myself the way I think I should have, like you did, you know, with your strength training. And I wasn't prepared to breastfeed him for like 45 minutes each side or lift him or get him in and out of the car, you know, with the seat. It was heavy on my body. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about strength training. What do you mean by strength training? How do you train for strength?
Okay, great question. So my definition around this, as I'm sure yours has as well, has evolved over time. I used to refer to Pilates as strength training, and I no longer, it's not that you can't get strong from Pilates. You can achieve certain strength goals through Pilates. However, when I'm using the term strength training, what I'm really talking about is usually working with weights or against resistance and trying to, oh my gosh, my brain is farting. Like basically the maximum amount of force that you can exert on an item. barbell, whatever, one time is a measure of what I'm thinking about when I'm talking about PRs, like personal records and progressive overload and working with things that are actually pushing you beyond the capacity that you have so that you're training really specifically for something. And, you know, for me right now, that's motherhood. And prior to motherhood, it was just to be really strong in my life because I wanted to push myself athletically and I wanted to be able to do all the things I wanted to do with my body. So strength training really involves working with a significant amount of weight in a progressive manner that is appropriate to your level of physical health and capacity, and then increasing that over time.
Let's give us an example to the listeners. For example, if you want to get strong through your squats, how do we do that, right? How do you strength train your legs?
Okay, so this is a great question. So for example, I have a client who I've been working with for a year now, and prior to working with her, she didn't exercise at all. And she's somebody who's in her 50s, and she was like, my kids want me to start working out. Like, what do I do? And so she's somebody who walks everywhere. She takes the subway everywhere. Mm-hmm. And her job is very physical because she does, what's it called? Sous chefing. She's a sous chef. So she does a lot of lifting of boxes and like moving things around, and she's on her feet all day. And when I first started working with her, the only squat she could do that would fatigue her, that would make her like really sore when we did multiple reps, was just an air squat. Like, I would literally have her sit all the way down onto a box and stand up, and we would do, you know, three sets of 10 to 12. And that was like where she was at physically. And when she started to get better at that, I was like, okay, great. This is looking really easy for you to make this harder and to make you stronger and to increase your strength and stamina, because you're somebody who has to stand all day. We started adding weights. So we started with like a 10-pound dumbbell. Now she's all the way up to goblet squatting at, I think, a 30-pound dumbbell. I mean, this is over the course of like a year and a half.
So it's not like we just hopped to that.
But she built up to that. And so we're still doing the same exercise. Like, she's squatting and essentially squatting all the way down to a low box with a 30-pound dumbbell and standing up. And that's how we progressed her over time.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, did you experience any back pain throughout your pregnancy?
So I'm really happy to report that I did not experience any back pain. I personally found pregnancy to be really uncomfortable, but I felt really guilty about complaining about pregnancy, because overall my pregnancy was very easy. And exercising really did make me feel better. So I'm convinced, and maybe I just got lucky, that all the exercise that I was doing, I was following a program, actually a weight training program that was for pregnant women, that was like barbell specific. So in addition to doing squats and, you know, all the pushing and pulling and overhead pressing, like, there was, all the exercises were geared with the idea that my body was changing shape and to support my back. So I didn't experience any back pain while I was pregnant. And postpartum, like freshly postpartum, I was in a good place. But hilariously, and this is the advice that I have given to multiple postpartum women that I've trained, in the last couple of months, so I mentioned my daughter is now 7 months old, in the last 3 months, I have started to experience back pain. And I don't believe it's from a herniation or anything like that. I believe it's literally from the repetitive action of holding my very heavy kid. My baby is 20 pounds. She's growing really fast, and she's a big girl, and she's heavy. And, you know, she's going through the phase right now, because she's 7 months, where she just wants to be moving. Held all the time. Well, she either wants to be moving, or she like wants to be Velcro baby. And I get tired holding her. So, and the other part of that too is in the postpartum time, I have.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I've been moving, and I have been kind of trying to follow my own programming to help support my body. But the things that are really hard to account for, which every mom knows this, and any person who's ever trained postpartum women knows this, is that you're really tired because mm-hmm. my sleep schedule is not normal. Mm-hmm. So while I am strength training, but not to the capacity actually that I was before having my baby, just simply because of time and fatigue. So like right now, my programming for myself is my goal is to do a minimum of 2 strength sessions a week, because that's the bare minimum that I need to like feel human and like my body can function without being broken. But I do also feel the difference between being a tired mom with a heavy baby who is not, you know, on the same schedule that she was prior to having a kid. And I do feel that manifesting in back pain.
Let's talk about what happens when we have a baby. You know, we have a baby, and as you said, our sleep schedule changes. And we don't sleep as much, you know. We are probably sleep deprived. We don't have as much time to look after ourselves. So if you compare your life before you had a baby and now, how much do you do for yourself daily?
Oh, like 50% less.
Exactly.
At least 50% less.
So your sleep is already compromised. Your workouts are compromised. The things that you do for yourself that makes you happy are compromised. And you know, all these things, and they just add up. And now we are talking about the, you know, the contributing factors of back pain, right? There we are.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like the perfect recipe for how to manifest back pain, perfect, to be honest.
Perfect cocktail, right?
Yeah.
Don't drink it. You know, it's not that good. But I definitely agree with that. And it's not complaining. This is what it is. You know, this is motherhood, right? I mean, we have to kind of like, we have to be there for our babies, right? We just have to show up. And that means we do less for ourselves, a little mm-hmm. bit less, right? Until they get a little bit bigger, more independent, you know, we just kind of like have to swim through or, you know, surf through this. So what you mentioned that you do 2 strength session trainings. Do you still do Pilates as well?
I do. So what I'm not doing now that is different. So prior to having my daughter, I was working regularly one-on-one with a strength training coach. Like I had someone training me, just because in the same way that my clients like to pay for my services so that they don't have to think about programming, I wanted the same thing for me. And that was really, really helpful for me. It was the best money I've ever spent. Like I would do it again. The only reason I'm not doing that now is simply because of, as a mom, my schedule is really unpredictable. I am somebody who's currently working part-time and doing childcare part-time. And so it just, in my life right now, having somebody whose schedule I would be affecting if I were to cancel or not show up, I'm not working with a trainer, but I am training myself. And my non-negotiables are strength training 2 times a week. In an ideal world, I have that time, and this happens sometimes, like 50% of the time, but also as all moms out there know, especially new moms, your baby is a human who has their own needs and thoughts. And so these things they change sometimes, but 2 days a week, like in an ideal world, I have at least 45 minutes to myself and I do a full workout. But sometimes, more often than I think I would like, but it is what it is. It's part of the experience. Like, it gets broken up into 15-minute or 10-minute mm-hmm. sessions, or just like, I have weights in my apartment if I like physically can't go to the gym, and you're like, okay, well, I have these 25-pound dumbbells. Like, what can I do in the next 10 minutes while she's napping or entertained on the floor that's going to help me feel good? And you get those things broken up. And I am still doing Pilates. And interestingly, prior to giving birth to my daughter, my Pilates practice was really serving me in terms of a way for me to keep in touch with the repertory of Pilates so that it could inform the way that mm-hmm. I was working with my clients. And it was feeling much like, for me, like much less of a workout. Obviously, it was exercise. Any moving counts in my book. But now that I am stiff and tired and have potentially regressed in terms of just, and I don't mean it negatively. When I say regressed, I'm not judging myself. I think there's seasons to every life. Mm, and
yes.
One of the things I have told every mother I've ever worked with, and something I try to remind myself of as well, now that I am in this season, is that just because things look the way they do right now doesn't mean that this is your forever mm. for later. But the purpose of a movement practice is to serve you in your life. So like, what is it that you need? Like, what fruits and veggies from your movement practice do you need right now to make you feel good? And for me, one of the things that I'm really getting a lot out of my Pilates practice at the moment is just range of motion and mobility work mm-hmm. that I have genuinely been, as someone who was a professional dancer and was a very flexible person, it has been incredibly humbling to become a mom and to become stiffer than I've ever been in my life for all the reasons that we just discussed. So Pilates has really been serving me in that capacity, and I've enjoyed mm-hmm. having the balance of both. But my Pilates practice, similar to my weight training practice, is also in the same boat, where it's not like I get 20 or 30. Like, I'm happy. I feel so great and grateful when I get 20 or 30 uninterrupted minutes where I can just do all the things that I need to do for myself.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
To me. Now, do you remember how was your first exercise after having your baby?
I do. So my birth, and we don't have to go down like the birthing story path, because I know that's a whole other thing, but everyone's birth is different, as you would assume. And there's no right or wrong. Like, however your birth looks is however your birth is supposed to be for you. Mine ended up being, despite all the training I did, actually incredibly difficult. Like, physically, I was really strong. Mm-hmm. But as somebody who danced for many years and was a Pilates practitioner, and despite the fact that I really, really worked on this prior to giving birth, I was like actually very consciously working on this. My pelvic floor is very tight, and so my daughter got stuck. And I ended up having to push for like an hour and a half, which for people who haven't given birth or don't know about that, that's a really long time. It's not actually ideal. So post-birth, I felt really wrecked, because that was a really rough experience. And so for the first, 2 weeks, I would say, I really couldn't do anything. Not even like gentle movement. It just, my body just needed to rest. But I do remember that finally in the third week, I was kind of going a little bit insane, because for anyone who hasn't had a baby, or maybe people who have, there's that you're so sleepless in the first few weeks, whether you're breastfeeding or not, because your baby is just awake, and you're just this weird combination of like deliriously happy and deliriously tired, and also manic in all of these ways that you've potentially never been before. And for me, movement and a movement practice is the only thing that I've ever had in my life, even prior to being a mom, that really grounds me and helps me understand how to function in the world. So I remember the day that I was like, I just need 15 minutes. Like, can someone please hold this baby, or like, just take care of the baby. Like, I just need to do something for me for like 15 minutes.
Great. Hold this.
Yeah. And it was so simple. I think I had a TheraBand, and I literally just like held onto the TheraBand and did some shoulder stretches, and it felt like the nicest thing that had ever happened to me. I think I did shoulder stretches and some side bending, and I was like, oh, yep. Thank God. Okay. And I think also for, I don't know if you had this experience with your sort of postpartum, but the really freshly postpartum time, especially when you're in that like 6 week period right after having had a baby, before you get medically cleared in quotes to move. Mm-hmm. It's so fragile is the word that I want to use. And I don't mean that in a scary way. What I mean is if you are somebody who's experienced the like extremes and the joy of like how powerful your body can be, and you're used to living in that space, and that's a space that you enjoy inhabiting, which is absolutely who I was prior to the now times. It's really humbling, and it's very hard not to fall down a dark rabbit hole where you're just like, is this the new forever? Like the healing period, mm-hmm. even though it's not that long relative to the rest of the life that you have to live, mm-hmm. in that moment, it can feel so long. And I just remember feeling really frustrated, even though intellectually I knew all the information and I've coached so many people through this time in their lives, it was very hard to take my own advice, mm-hmm. and just accept the fact that maybe some shoulder stretches and side bending and some breathing exercises were truly exactly what my body needed at that moment instead of like going to the gym.
Absolutely. I actually experienced the same thing when I was giving birth to my son. My pushing was, and I had the same thing. I don't know, maybe all the Pilates instructors, we have very strong core.
Yeah. You know?
And the pelvic floor is really strong. So the doctor said, we are going 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And it was very tough, but we got through it. And it's actually, they say it's not a bad thing for the baby to go through this because it makes them stronger, or, you know, I mean, Oliver was doing great, you know,
yeah.
he was totally fine. And he wasn't even a big baby. So I can't even, I don't know how big was your daughter.
She was not big when she came out. She's very big now, but she was only 6.5 pounds when she came out, which is very normal.
You see, my son wasn't even 6 pounds. He was 5.5 because we were 5.5 weeks early.
Yeah.
You know, or 5 weeks early. And he was a tiny baby. And even though he was tiny, mm-hmm. I pushed for hours.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's a good thing, but it was definitely tough. And I experienced the same thing. And I can't remember my first workout because it was almost 10 years ago, but I remember the first time I was attempted to try the teaser. And I was like, oh my God, I don't think I will ever be able to do this exercise. It was just out of control. Like, oh my God. So it took me months to master the teaser again because I was mm-hmm. just weak. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel the core. I didn't, you know, it was, everything was weird.
Yeah. And I think, so I was pleasantly surprised in my experience how much core strength I did. I thought it was going to be worse than it was. But the thing that for me that was really challenging, and again, like everyone's birth experience is so personal, I had had a lot, because I pushed for so long and my daughter essentially got stuck because she had a very beautiful, large little head. I did have a lot of internal tearing. And as a result, I didn't have third degree tearing, but I had second degree tearing, and there was a lot of stitching that had to happen. Mm-hmm. And so for me, even like 3 months postpartum, when I expected like the scar tissue and everything to feel so much better, it didn't. Mm-hmm. And I was very worried just because, you know, in Pilates.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We do so much sitting and rolling back, like mm-hmm. the action of doing a roll up. It wasn't my abdominals that was the part that was problematic for me. It was like sitting and tucking your tailbone under and having to roll back of your sit bones. Mm-hmm. Like that was actually really painful for me for a while, just because of whatever was happening with the scar tissue in my perineum. And that was something that for a while I was like, oh God, is this like going to be forever? is this a new thing I'm going to have to struggle through? And I'm happy to report that now that I'm closer to the 7-month mark than the like three or four, it's getting a lot better. It's improved significantly. It's not totally gone, but I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And again, I can't say this enough, that it has exemplified for me the like, if when you're in it, especially if you're somebody who, or maybe even if you're somebody who hasn't like had the agency of your body in your life for your whole life is something that you define yourself by, the healing process, it feels so long, even though it is not that long compared to what your body just did. And it's so easy to intellectualize the, it takes 9 months to grow a baby. So it logics that it will take at least that amount of time, if not a little more time, to like heal from having grown and birthed a baby. But the time frame when you're living in it can feel so long, because I would say that even for me now, so I'm 7 months postpartum, I'm just starting to get to, and even with the sleep deprivation and all of the things, I'm only starting to feel like I'm in a place where I'm actually gaining progress, if that makes sense. Like everything that I've done before this was kind of like healing and to just like maintain not becoming more broken. And now I feel like I've started to pivot into a little more of a phase where I can actually do things that are starting to feel a little more challenging if I have the energy. Like if I've slept enough and I've had a good couple of days, like I'm finally feeling confident enough where I'm like, okay, well, maybe today, instead of doing the 150-pound deadlift, I really have the energy to do 165 or something like that. Which, you know, prior to pregnancy, I wouldn't even have to think about that. I would just do it. And I was always pushing for like PRs, but here we are. So it's, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It does get better. It just, when you're in the process of healing and kind of renegotiating what your movement life is going to look like as a new mom, I think it, at least for me, it feels really long.
Did you have abdominal separation, diastasis?
So, not, okay, not that I noticed, but pretty much everyone has as far as I understand, like everyone has DR. It didn't bother me in any way, and it wasn't pointed out to me in any way that was significant. And I, you know, younger, earlier career teaching me would have been like, oh my gosh, I should be checking, and I didn't, because now I just know that even whether you have it or not, like core exercises are good for you. And I forget, maybe you know off the top of your head, I can't remember the exact percentage. Most women end up, whether they know they have it or not, most women end up with diastasis recti, which makes sense because of what your body has to do to shapeshift to accommodate for a child. So I probably did. I didn't pay attention. I just, in my mind, I like didn't let that be one of my problems because I felt comforted by the knowledge that whether I had it or not, it wasn't causing me issues, and that core training regardless is good for you after birth. So that was kind of my approach.
I had a big separation, 4-finger separation actually.
Oh wow.
So mine was, maybe that's why I was struggling with the teaser for a long time.
Yeah.
And for me it was painful as well. And you mentioned you had a pretty easy pregnancy, which I envy, because I also had gestational diabetes as well, which was terrible. It terrified me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was always skinny, always worked out, and I had that test. I think they do it at the 6th or 7th month. I can remember now.
Oh yeah.
And it came back. Oh my God. And even my doctor could not believe, how come you have it? You know, you're the perfect model, you know, you, and oh my goodness, I was terrified, you know, to have that. And, but I didn't take any medication. I was waking up every day, working out before having breakfast, checking my glucose level every, you know, 3-4 hours, but definitely it wasn't easy. But they say, you know, if you have gestational diabetes, you have more chance to have diastasis recti. Yeah, because of the muscles, you know, and everything gets mm-hmm. loosey-goosey. Now I know. Back then I didn't.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I'm so sorry you had that experience. That's really intense. <It's so good. laughs> But one of the things I was really determined around my exercise, like one of my goals for myself going into pregnancy and being really conscious of how I was trying to exercise, one of the kind of goals was to not get gestational diabetes, because, and I know that exercise, it can't 100% keep that from happening, but it is a huge, what's the right word, predictor or a determining factor mm-hmm. in helping be preventative. And I think, this is related. So there's, when you become pregnant, there's all of these recommendations or guidelines around how much weight you're supposed to gain or not gain. And that can be really challenging because if you're somebody who happens to gain more weight than what's recommended, and I did, and not in a way, I'll say this, my weight gain was, what do they say? You can gain up to like 50 pounds or I can't remember the exact number. I was like 15 pounds over what they recommend mm-hmm. for my age, weight, mm-hmm. height, all the things. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't super worried about it because in my mind, I felt in my body, like I knew how active I was being and how I was strength training. I was like, I think this is literally just what my body needs to do mm-hmm. to grow this human. But it's a really challenging conversation and place to be in, because when you go to the doctor's office and the nurse measures you, the minute that they see you're over whatever the recommended mm. guideline is, they're like, oh my God, well now you're definitely getting gestational yeah. diabetes, mm. which I didn't, but it was, I don't know, that it's just a really tricky thing because we have these recommendation guidelines mm. because they are general, right? And they are there to help guide us in our decision-making. And if I was somebody who hadn't been exercising at all, I think maybe there would have been call for being more mm. worried about it. But I just remember that conversation and that time and being like, well, I don't know what to tell you. This is what my body needs to do.
Yeah. But you see, I was skinny. I didn't even look pregnant if you look, you know, from behind. Mm-hmm. And I got gestational diabetes, but because I already have an autoimmune condition since I'm 20. Mm-hmm. So, and if you have one already, you know, you have more chance to develop another one. So, and I actually didn't even know that either.
I didn't know that either.
So anyway, and this is why I had gestational diabetes. But I'm glad you had a good pregnancy. I mean, yeah. Other than that, I had a great pregnancy too. It's just I was craving Krispy Kreme and I had to eat celery sticks. You know, I mean, I didn't gain too much. So once I had Oliver, I looked like a model, which is a good thing. You know, I didn't have to worry nice. About losing the weight. And I was definitely stuffing my face with all the things that my mom made mm-hmm. when she was here. But the last 2.5 months was definitely a challenge for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's intense.
Now, let's talk about the law of specificity. Basically, we get good at what we practice. And the truth mm-hmm. is, I wasn't practicing holding a baby for 30, 45 minutes or leaning over the crib for hours or taking him in and out of the car. I was actually practicing the regular Pilates repertoire, you know, roll-ups, breathing, bridges. So what do you think about that? Do you think that if we want to feel strong as moms, we actually have to start training for what motherhood actually really looks like?
Yes. So every single one of my clients who has ever had a baby knows this. And now I'm also like living the thing that I've told everyone to do for all these years. If in anticipation of the fact that you are going to be holding your baby when you're breastfeeding them, and then also just when they're feeling extra needy and as they grow, because that's what children mm-hmm. are supposed to do, they are supposed to grow and get heavier. You know, when your baby is born, let's say that your baby is 7 pounds, like to hold 7 pounds for a sustained amount of time is actually a lot if you haven't been doing that. So you really need to train upper body strength. Mm-hmm. And you want to be training more weight than what the weight of your baby is going to be so that you have more capacity to facilitate that long hold that you're going to be doing. And as a result, like anytime I've ever worked with prenatal women, we always do a lot of upper body and back exercises, mm-hmm. like specifically strength training for your upper body and mm-hmm. your back, because that's the majority of what you're going to be doing. I mean, train the whole body, of course, but like you need to have it helps to have a robust, strong upper body. And that's something that I really focused on in my personal practice as well prior to giving birth. And now that I do have my baby, and I mentioned she's become quite heavy in the last 3 months. She's put on all her chub has started to come in. She's 20 pounds. So she's really heavy, which actually means that when I'm working out and training my upper body, like now I'm always trying to train more weight than what she mm-hmm. weighs. Because one, in anticipation of her getting heavier, which is what her job is as she gets older. And then two, just because of the stamina that it takes to like hold mm-hmm. a kid her size for that long. And this is one of the ways that Pilates strength training or like having a movement practice in general can really serve you. So like, I love the idea, or I love to talk about everyday athletes. And for me, what that means is that unless it's your job, like unless your job is to be a professional athlete, in which case you're going to do really specific, like Tom Brady is going to train really specifically for his job as a football player, right? Or well, when he was playing football, I think he's retired now. So you're going to put your body through the paces of the actions that you need to be successful at your sport. For everyday athletes and for moms specifically as everyday athletes, one of the things that we need to train in order to be good at our sport, which is the bending over and picking up of like tiny humans who usually weigh between, you know, 25 and 30 pounds, is you need to be able to do that like without getting injured. And you need to be able to do that multiple times a day without getting injured. So, you know, if you're in the gym, you want to train something that's heavier than how much your kid weighs.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember when I was having back pain, they told me, don't flex your spine. You know, don't do that because that's dangerous. How do you get your baby out of the crib if you're not allowed to do that? I was just wondering.
Well, you can.
So it is pretty much impossible. I was just thinking about that the other day that, you know, we are keep telling people, you don't flex your spine because it's dangerous. It's not good for your discs and this and that. And imagine you are a mom, you know, and you have to get your baby out of the crib who's 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So then what do you do? Like, you know?
I mean, this is the thing, but that advice from whatever movement professional or doctor said that is very unhelpful, because it's just,
exactly.
You're just going to ignore it, because if mm-hmm. your baby is in the crib and they're crying or they need mm-hmm. something, you're going to 100% pick up your kid. So I think, you know, instead of fear mongering, this is what I've experienced happen, not to me personally, but I've observed this in a lot of clients that I've worked with. And it's something that I think about really actively in my life now as somebody who's doing so many repetitive actions. And as I mentioned earlier, is starting to have a little bit of back pain as a result of it. You know, fear around movement and fear of doing specific movements, I think actually can exacerbate a problem. So if you're having back pain and you are terrified of bending over mm-hmm. to pick your kid up out of the crib, that is actually probably going to make mm-hmm. your back pain a lot worse. And then you're going to start doing weird things with your body to like moving like a robot to protect yourself and your mind. Whereas really what I think you probably need is just a different movement strategy. Like what you need to practice is moving in a way that's less painful for you or manageable for you, that enables you to get your kid out of the crib. And then ideally, in an ideal world, like simultaneously strengthening whatever areas you can to help facilitate the movement that you have to do, you know, 100 times a day, which is picking up and putting down your baby.
I definitely agree with that. because we cannot actually avoid flexing the spine. So I do believe that instead of saying it to people, avoid this movement, how can we train them so they become more confident doing that movement, right? So, and actually that's what I do in my practice as well. So instead of avoiding it, we are trying to slowly adapt our spine and our body for that specific movement. Because I think healing back pain or any kind of movement that you are afraid of, healing is when you are no longer fearful to do that movement, not by avoiding it. Oh my God, I dropped my pencil and I'm not going to flex my spine or bend over. I'm going to pick it up from, you know, like other way or something, but that's not healing. You know, that's like fearful movement, right? Mm-hmm. So I think healing is when you no longer care and you're just, you know, without even thinking about it, you're just doing it, right?
For sure. I believe that that's true. And a question, like I work with a lot of people who have come to me like with chronic pain, and our work together has really been strategizing how to enable them to live their lives and ideally over time, like improve the chronic pain, but essentially like live a full bodied life without being as fearful. And the thing I always like to tell people is that if you can reprogram your brain to just understand that pain is information. So our goal is to never make you feel like you are in pain, but if you can change the relationship that you have with whatever pain you are experiencing or you're afraid of experiencing to understanding that it's actually just your body communicating with you about something. And our job is to try to interpret what your body is telling you about whatever that thing is. So for example, if you're bending over into the crib multiple times a day and you're experiencing back pain while you're doing that when you pick up your kid, the answer isn't don't pick up your kid and never do that. It's okay, well, what other things can we do in your life to support you either doing that movement, or are there different movement strategies that we can explore that will still help you achieve the goal of picking your child up out of the crib, but maybe we're going to physically approach them a little bit differently, mm-hmm. so that you can build confidence around mm-hmm. knowing that you can do this action without being terrified that you're going to have shooting pain down your leg or your back every time you do it. And that to me is like, in an ideal world, like what our Pilates practice or a strength training practice or both together can do for you.
Yeah. So your baby is 20 pounds now, right?
Yes.
But you didn't experience back pain. So my question would be, did you ever had to say no to pick her up because you were just tired, or, but you're not there yet, right? I mean,
no, I'm not there yet. I believe that my back pain is a result of, so she's somebody who likes, sometimes she'll get, towards the end of the day, she starts to get really fussy. She goes through this period where she just needs to be held. She's not tired and she just wants to be held. Mm-hmm. And I'm a stubborn person who doesn't want to just sit down and hold her. I want to like hold her and walk around my house. And often what that entails is like, I either have her in one arm or I have her mm-hmm. like in both arms, kind of like against my chest. And I'm doing this almost slouching action to mm-hmm. hold her because it's mechanically easier to do that. And it relieves my biceps, my forearm or mm-hmm. my arms from having yep. to hold yep. her so intensely. But when I do that, and I do that a lot, which I do, I've started to notice that there's a lot of stiffness in my mid upper back mm-hmm. that I think is a result of having done that. So
yeah.
something I'm trying to do in addition to like training my upper body strength and my back strength is changing the way that I hold her so that I don't create that pain. And another thing that has felt really good for me, which I do a lot less of now, which I think is potentially part of being a mom. You become so forward oriented, right? Like mm-hmm. whether you're breastfeeding or picking up your kid, it's a lot of forward up and down and a lot less twisting. And so my spine feels really stiff, and something that makes me feel a lot better or helps relieve some of the back pain that I've been experiencing is just simply trying to rotate more in my life, like do a seated twist or side bending. Just simple things, which I think I did a lot more of in my life prior to having a child. But then when you have a baby that's like constantly attached to you, you stop doing those things because they're harder.
Exactly. Now, Kyle, can you give listeners three tips how to start working out after pregnancy?
Sure. So the thing that I'll say is every person, similar to your birth journey, your pregnancy journey, your postpartum journey, is something that's going to be really specific to you and your body. And I think speaking both now from the experience of someone who has trained many postpartum women and is now also postpartum and is like living through the experience, giving yourself, being gracious and gentle enough with yourself to understand that things do not need to be perfect in order to be effective. So I think if you're somebody who's coming to movement because you want to feel more like yourself, or, you know, there's lots of different reasons or goals to get back into moving as a postpartum person. And I think all of the goals can be valid. But if you approach getting into back to movement and getting back to exercise as a postpartum person with the attachment to the idea that it needs to be a super specific way and you're going to be really rigid about it, I think you're going to be a lot less successful with it. So give yourself the grace and the freedom to just celebrate any time that you can show up for yourself. Just like 10 minutes is better than zero. 15 minutes, amazing. 30 minutes, like, oh, that's such a gift. Celebrate those wins and try to use the celebration of the wins and the times that you are able to show up for yourself as motivation to keep showing up for yourself. Because I think what can happen a lot is that there's this, especially with the internet and Instagram, I don't know who these people, these influencers are on the internet who are like, I am 2 months postpartum and like, here's my six pack. Those people are maybe lying to you or maybe genetically like predisposed, but they're like 1% of all the postpartum people I've ever met in my whole life. Like having realistic goals and expectations, but just being gracious enough with yourself to celebrate any amount that you can show up, because that's what's going to motivate you to come back. Like focus on the things that make you feel good. So rather than focusing on and I say this for myself too, this is my own job for myself. Prior to pregnancy, like I was deadlifting 175 pounds and I really want to get back to that. I'm sure I will one day, but this is not the season in my life where that's the thing that's the most important. So instead, I'm just going to celebrate the fact that I got to the gym today and I'm going to be really grateful that I feel good for having moved. And I'm going to try and repeat that again next week, because that is the part that is more important for me right now than the fact that I want to get back to my previous PR. I don't know if that was three things, but I feel like those were a bunch of things all strung together.
Yeah,
celebrate your wins, be gracious and kind to yourself, and know that even if right now doesn't look the way that the past used to look, there is a future version of you that can also continually grow into getting stronger and better with time. But you have to start here, and you have to start with the part where you just like start getting back into the habit.
Absolutely. And I think motherhood isn't controlled movement. It's chaos. And I think our training better reflect that as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. And also, I should have said this also. I think it's really amazing and important for your kids to watch you work out and to be a part of that process, because like so many things in motherhood, everything we do models to our children what they can expect or think about in the world. And like your son is 10, so you probably are living this in a like totally different way than I am. But if you want your kids to be healthy and interested in exercise, they need to see you doing that too. Which means that I think, you know, obviously when you're baby is an infant, it manifests differently than when your child is 10, but you can include them in the process. Mm-hmm. You can work out with your kids. Like when my daughter is doing tummy time on the floor, like sometimes I'm also moving next to her. And it's important to remind yourself that you have permission to do that as well. And to make it more of a group activity. Unless you need the movement time for yourself because you need to be away from your children. That is also totally a thing. But that it just doesn't have to look any, it doesn't have to look a specific way to count. Mm-hmm. Like if you're working out with your kid next to you, or you're like challenging your child to a push-up challenge so that you can do the push-ups, like, you know, all these things, they all count. And like you said, the chaos of motherhood, I think, is like part of the beauty of motherhood, and learning how to have a movement practice that serves you in the chaos mm-hmm. is super important, because again, if you need your movement practice to look perfect, or you're attached to the idea that mm-hmm. it can only happen in a super specific mm-hmm. way, you're probably not going to get to it.
Definitely not in the beginning. I actually do have many moms in my program with little kids, and I just so love them to watch. I have one girl, she's got three kids, and the third one is still a baby, I think maybe a year old. And so sweet to see that. Of course, for her, it's challenging, but she still shows up. Mm-hmm. You know, but sometimes it is challenging to tell the kids, stop running around and, you know, be quiet. And, but
of course,
personally, to me, I love it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
And I know when you live it, is it? You know, it's totally different, but
I know you're I just want to do my push-ups without your extra 35 pounds, but I guess if this is the only way I can do it.
Or sometimes kids sit on her back and then she does the push-ups, you know, it's kind of funny, but you know, it's so cute. If you can include your kids, it's great.
Exactly. And sometimes you do a mix of both because that's the only mm-hmm. way you can get it done.
Exactly. Yeah. Because any movement is better than no movement, right?
Yes. That's my like hard philosophy for all things. Like, some is better than zero.
Exactly. Perfect. Nakai, thank you so much for joining me to the show. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for the conversation. And thank you for the listeners to tuning in to the Back to Movement podcast. And this is all for this episode, folks. And we see you next time.
Thanks for having me.